Today's shiur is Masechta Zvach and Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Am Beis at the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Am Beis, Avram be'Avram. Actually, the issue that the Mishnah now discusses is an issue that was discussed at the end of the previous shiur. The Mishnah begins to discuss the situation where Avram be'Avram, Bali Mumin, where you have the Avram of animals that are fine, intermingled into them are Avram of animals that are Bali Mumin. Rabbi Leza Omer, so Rabbi Leza says, Im Karav Rosh Echad Mehen, if one of the heads falls out, so as we've learned earlier in our perek, Rabbi Leza allows us to make the assumption that that is the head, that the head that fell out is the head that was actually the head that was Osir, it was the head of the Baal Mum, and therefore Yikrevu Kol HaRoshim, all of the other heads may now be brought. And similarly, if Kraim Shalachim Hem, if the knees, again the similar situation where the knee of a Baal Mum, the knees of a Baal Mum got intermingled with the knees of kosher animal, and obviously we're unable to identify from which animal, which are the knees of the non of the Baal Mum, so if one of them falls out, says Rabbi Elazar Yikrevu Kol HaKroim, we make the assumption that it was the Kroim of the Baal Mum animal that fell out, and the rest of the animals are fine. So, as the Rishonim point out, at the end of the previous year, the Gemara brought us that it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that Torah says Mumbam, when the Torah speaks about animals that are Bali Mum, and we learn from that Pasuk, when the animal is a Baal Mum, then there's a halacha, it obviously cannot be used as a carbon. But if the Baal Mum is not here independently, but the Baal Mum is intermingled with the other karbanos, then the halacha is yiratzu, they may be brought on the Mizbeach. So obviously when we learn this Gemara, and we learn this Mishnah, we have the question. If it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that the Isser of putting a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach was not said when it's Betaruvis, so why do we have to start learning the Mishnah that one fell out, and then I could be toil, I could assume that the one that fell out is the problematic one? We have a heter of Taruvis. So there are essentially two pshatim in the Rishonim how to address this issue. The pshat that we're going to work with is as follows. That Enochanami, Midoy Raisa, Rabbi Elazar is going to hold that if you have a taruvus of a not of a Baal Mum together with all the other animals, the halach ought to be that you could put them all on the Mizbeach. It is the Rabbanon who were machmer and said that we shouldn't rely on that rule, as we've learned in our perek numerous times, that there's situations where Midoy Raisa something is bottled, Chazal weren't satisfied with that. But even the Rabbanon, who are machmer, will agree that if one fell out, so now we have another mitigating reason to be makel, because we can make an assumption that the one that fell out was the problematic one, and therefore there, Rabbi Elazar says, we could be makel. That's the pshat that the Rishonim use, and that's the pshat that we'll work with. There are Rishonim that have a different way of explaining the Mishnah. That even Rabbi Elazar in our previous shiur, who taught us that the Pasuk says that if a Baal Mum fell in with other animals, with the Avram of Baal Mum fell into the Avram of other animals, since it's Taruvus, it could be all brought in the Mizbeach, was only speaking to a situation where there was a Raif. There was a Raif animals that were not Baal Mum, with the Avram of Baal Mum who are in the minority. But let's say you have a situation of Mechza, Mechza, 50-50. 50% are not Baal Mum, and 50% are Baal Mum. That isn't what the Pasuk is discussing. That's where Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah teaches us that you don't have the din that we learned yesterday, but we have a new din of Taliyah. But again, we're going to learn with the first Pshat. The Chamim disagree, and they say, Afilu Karav Kulam, even if all of them were brought. So again, statistically, it's most likely that since you only had, going back to the way we're learning the Mishnah, only one problematic Aver amongst all of these kosher Aver, and all the Aver minus one aren't here. So statistically, it's most likely that this one Aver you're left with is not a problematic one. Still, the Rabbanim disagree with Rabbi Lezer. Yetz lebeis Yisrael, it should be burnt. There's a very interesting diuk that the Migdish David makes in our Mishnah. He says, our Mishnah, in the great degree, parallels the din that we learned in the previous Mishnah. Here we're speaking about an aver of an animal, tzbal mum, that got intermingled with the other averim. And yesterday, we discussed the case where the aver of a carbon chatos got intermingled with the carbon oil. And in both cases, the chum say we have to discard the entire mixture. But if we look in the previous Mishnah, the Rabbanan's opinion is not identical to the Mishnah in this Mishnah. In that Mishnah, the Rabbanan says, Tu'ubetz Rosin, and we discussed what Tu'ubetz Rosin means. First Tu'ubetz Rosin, and then V'yetzei L'beis Esreifa. In this Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, the Chum says straight Yetzei L'beis Esreifa, no Tu'ubetz Rosin. Actually, interestingly enough, the Briskerov says if you look in a Tosefta that quotes the same din of our Mishnah and the same Achloikas of Rabbi Lezer and the Chum in our Mishnah, the Tosefta actually uses the words Tu'ubetz Rosin, V'yetzei L'beis Esreifa, even for the case of our Mishnah. But our Mishnah clearly doesn't say that. So why is the opinion of the Rabbanan not identical if the Halacha really ought to be identical? So the Migdash David says a beautiful pshat. He says as follows. In the previous case, what was the situation? You had Avery Chatas that got intermingled with Avery Oila. There's nothing wrong with the Avery Oila. There's nothing wrong with the Avery Chatas. There's only one issue. The Avery Chatas don't belong to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And the Chacham, as we discussed yesterday, do not subscribe to the concept that when I put something that doesn't belong in the Mizbeach and I have in mind that it should be fuel, it's good enough. So that's why the Chacham had a problem. But since there's nothing wrong, not with the Avery Oila, nor with the Avery Chatas, to go straight and burn it, you have no right to catch him. So that's what the Mishnah said. Tu'ubetz Rosin, v'yetzei l'beis Esreifa. First have Ibetzura. What about our Mishnah? What got intermingled here? Here we have a Bamum. A Bamum is no good. A Bamum is disqualified. So therefore, the Rabbanan says, since what got intermingled here, part of this Taruvus has something which is inherently Osir, it has the Bamum. So the Rabbanan says, you don't have to wait for Ibetzura immediately, yetzei l'beis Esreifa. Beautiful shot. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Lezer. This Rabbi Lezer da Meira is explaining the opinion of Rabbi Lezer the Tana. Lehechsh Rabbi Lezer el shnayim shnayim. Aval echad echad loy. So we've already learned this Gemara previously. And if I indalad, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Again, sort of, we're trying to build an insurance policy here. Rabbi Lezer said in our Mishnah very big kula. That if one, we had this Taruvus, one problematic Aver Balmum fell into all these other Avram that are fine. If one falls out, we are toiler, we make the assumption that that was the problematic one. Of course, the reason we could do that is because we're anyway with the rice sits bottle. Let's think about it, says the Gemara. It's to say the Svara, that's the way Rashi explains, to say the Svara of Taliyah is somewhat of a stretch. To say that we could assume that the one that fell out is the problematic one. So how do we protect ourselves? When we now go and amakriv on the Mizbeach Avrim, says Rabbi Lezer, take two. Take two Avrim at a time. Why do we take two Avrim at a time? Because there was only one problematic Avrim in the first place. So by taking two, we know for sure that we're taking one good Avrim. Because there's only one problematic Avrim to start off with. So once we're taking a good aver, even if the second aver that we're taking now is the problematic one, it's getting brought along with the good one, and therefore it's not such a big issue. That's how Rashi explains. The Rambam, we're not going to learn the Gemara like the Rambam, but the Rambam has a different explanation. He says as follows. Our Mishnah said, again, that one aver of Balmum got intermingled with all these other averim that are fine. So again, the Rambam starts with the same place as Rashi. It's sort of a stretch to make this assumption. So how do you build your statistics? But says the Gemara, if only one Aver fell out, and then to make the assumption that that one Aver that fell out is the problematic Aver, is sort of a stretch. So says the Gemara, make sure that two fall out. If two fall out, there's a better chance that one of those two was the problematic Aver, and therefore Rabbi Lezer could be Mekel. Ask the Gemara, Mos Rav Yirmiyah, Is that indeed the opinion of Rebbe Lezer? Let's learn the end of the Mishnah. The Chum Aymrim, the Chum say, Friva Kurva Kulan Chutz Mi Echemen. The Chum hold that all of the Avrim were already put on the Mizbeach. One wasn't. Yetzel Beis Reifa. So what does it seem? And the Rebbe Lezer disagrees. So it seems that Rebbe Lezer is going to be lenient even about putting one Avra on the Mizbeach. I, Rebbe Lezer, the Moira just said that even Rebbe Lezer, the Tana, agrees that you have to put at least two at a time on the Mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu bat Tachlifa, Asberlach, I will explain to you, when the Mishnah says Echod, it doesn't mean one single one, it means Zogecha, two. Because indeed, Rebbe Lezer, the Tana, will never allow less than two to be put on the Mizbeach at a time. Continues the Mishnah. Damshnes Arab Imayim. We know, we learned extensively at the beginning of the Masechta, that the main part of the carbon is the Zrikas Adam. So here, dam got mixed up with water. So the question is, could that still be used to do the Zrikas Adam? Paskins the Mishnah, Im Yesh by Maris Dam, if it still looks like dam, kosher. And as the Mefarshim explained, and we're going to discuss this more later, the Torah doesn't have a specific amount of dam that has to be there. The Torah wants dam to be sprinkled. So even if there's water, it doesn't take away the reality that we have here dam. And since we have here the reality that we still have dam here, and as the Achronim go on to explain, as long as it looks like dam, even if it's not as dark red as it started off, it's still in the category of dam, and therefore Zrika could be done. Continues the Mishnah, Nes'ar B'yayin. As the Mefarshim explained, the wine, particularly the wine in Eretz Yisrael, was typically red. So now, how do I look at it? If it's red, I can't know if it got mixed up with dam, would the dam still have that color or not? Says the Mishnah, and we introduce now a new concept, the concept of Roin. Roin is a kilo mayim. We know how much wine there is here. So we look at the wine, not as if it's wine, but if it was water. And if we had this ratio of water to blood, would it still look like blood? Then it's fine. Would it not look like blood? We have a problem. Nis'arif b'dam behema b'dam chaya. Similarly, if it got mixed up in the dam of a behema or a dam of a chaya, ro'inoseklumayim. What does it mean, a dam behema? That means there was an animal in the Beis HaMikdash that wasn't hegdish. Or there was a chaya, which can never be hegdish, because we know a chaya can never be brought in the Mizbeach. In fact, if Mefarshim asks that a behema should be found in the Azara, can happen. But a chaya, how do you ever have a chaya in the Azara? A chaya can never be brought as a carbon. So what's the chaya doing there? And Mefarshim say that indeed we have to understand that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was a chaya incorrectly brought into the Azara and its dam somehow got mixed into this dam. But now, the Mefarshim asks a different question. What do we have here? We have the dam of this carbon that got intermixed, that got mixed up with dam that is not kachim. Chai is certainly not kachim, or the behemoth that's not kachim. By now taking this mixture and putting it on the Mizbeach, isn't this a situation of putting something what's chulin on the Mizbeach? If chulin may not be on the Azara, it certainly can't be put on the Mizbeach. So how can we allow this srika to take place? So I saw a number of terutzim. One teretz is that when the person does the zrika with this mixture of good dam and bad dam, or dam and water, it's the same, he has in mind that whatever is the dam of the carbon I want to do zrika with. And the rest should be considered like water. We had a concept earlier, if you have in mind that it should be water, it's not a problem. And the Mefarshim take this a step further. Specifically, there's a machloikis rishonim, machloikis, if the iser of chulin bazara is an Issa d'Araisa or it's an Issa d'Rabbanan. So if we follow the opinion that it's an Issa d'Rabbanan, so instead of pouring out the dam and wasting the carbon, it's better to do this. Other pshat that I saw, and this pshat works very well with water, it works very well with the dam of Achaya. Where did the Torah, where is there an Issa of, we said this concept earlier also, I believe. Where is there an issue of Chulun Bazara, a Chulun on the Mizbeach? It was said specifically in something that has a place on the Mizbeach. So it's something that has a place on the Mizbeach. There, if it's not Kachim, it should not be put on the Mizbeach. But something that doesn't bechlal have a place in the Mizbeach, there's no issue of Chulin Bazara. A Chaya has no place in the Mizbeach. Water has no place in the Mizbeach. On them, there's no issue of Chulin Bazara. So again, the Mishnah taught us that if the dam of the carbon got mixed up with the dam of a behemah Chaya, behemah that's not kachim Chaya, Ryan, we look, if it still had the look, if it were water, it would still look like dam. The Tanakam holds it's fine. Yehuda says no. Yehuda teaches us a very important concept. Again, anyone who's ever learned Hilchos Taruvos is certainly familiar with this. Ein dam mevatel dam. What does this mean? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which we're going to be spending a lot of time working with, is the concept min b'minoi, when you have two items that are the same, loy batel, then you don't say bittel. So therefore here, if you have the dam of the carbon getting mixed up with the dam of the behemoth, the chaya, which is min b'minoi, they're all dam, there's no bittel. Where does Rabbi Yehuda take this position from? So, it's a Gemara Masechet Yuma. The Gemara Masechet Yuma, when it describes the avoid of Yom Kippur, says, V'lokach ha-koyin, the koyin should take, dam ha-par, the dam ha-soyer, the dam of the par of the koyin, the dam of the soyer, and mix it together. Now, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, there's much more blood in a par than there is in a soyer. So when you mix up the dam of the par and the dam of the soyer, the dam soyer becomes bottle. Yet, what does the Torah say? It retains its identity. Dam ha-par v'dam ha-sor. Why? How does it retain its identity? Doesn't it become bottle? Beroiv? The answer is, since it's min b'minoi, it's all dam, min b'minoi loy bottle. The Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda are going to say that the Pasuk is teaching us that you should, that's the mitzvah. It's not discussing Hilchos Bittel. There's a beautiful Ran, a very famous Ran, that explains why does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to the concept of bittel by min b'she'ena minoi, and does not subscribe to the concept of bittel by min b'minoi, says the Ran. When we have two different types of items, the classical example, some milk falls into your pot with meat. So the meat and the milk are very different items, basa b'chalav, right? So they, so to speak, challenge each other. Since they challenge each other, when you have an issue that they challenge each other, so there the Torah says, we go basaroif. We need shisha, we need whatever, but there's a concept of bittel. However, says the Ran, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when two items are the same and they meet each other, they don't challenge each other, they combine with each other. To use the words of the Ran, misayayim, one helps the other. So there's no bittel, there's a combination. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, min b'minoi loy batel. This arev b'dam psulim. What happens if the dam got mixed up with the dam? And here is a big machlokes rishonim, how to understand what psulim means. Rashi is very broad. He says psulim means roi v'venirva, a carbon that was pigel because it's chutzl zmanoi, a carbon that's possible because it's chutzl mkoymai, or are included in dam psulim. There are other Rishonim that dispute Rashi. Some say it means specifically Raiva v'Nirva. Some say it means specifically Pigel and Possel. Again, Yishafech L'Amah. Here, they should all be discarded. B'dam Atamtsis. We've learned many times that which dam is the dam that should be used for the Zrikas Adam? The Dam HaNefesh. The Dam HaNefesh is the dam, the lifeblood. Dam Atamtsis is the blood that drains out afterwards. It shouldn't be used. So here too, if this dam ha-nefesh got mixed up with the dam ha-tamsis, yishafech l'amah. This is midrabanan, as we're going to see later in the perek. And actually, we're going to see later in the perek that there's a question, why, if they're both isuri midrabanan, why does the Mishnah put into two separate cases? Ask the Sfas Emes. The Mishnah is teaching us that if the dam ha-nefesh gets mixed up together with the dam ha-tamsis, we clearly have a problem. Ask the Sfas Emes, how could you make sure, physically, it's a physical impossibility to make sure that there's no dam ha-tamtsis in dam ha-nefesh. You put the cup right next to the neck. How do you know that some dam ha-tamtsis by itself, not that you did anything, got mixed up into the dam ha-nefesh? And according to the Rabbanan, as soon as some dam ha-tamtsis got mixed up to the dam ha-nefesh, it all should be spilled out. The Amr was like a special canal that all the waste, the refuse, went out of the Azara from. So the Sfas Emes is very troubled with this question. The teretz that the Sfas Emes gives is a chiddush. It's not Pashup Shan in the Mishnah. He said the Mishnah is not referring to a case where we have a cup and the Dama Nefesh is pouring into the cup and then some Dama Tamtzis fell in also. That wouldn't be a problem. The issue here is where you had Dama Nefesh in one cup, a Dama Tamtzis in another cup, and then those two cups got mixed together. That's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. The only problem is that doesn't say so in the Mishnah. However, says the Mishnah, even according to Rabbanan, Imloy Nimlach V'Nasa, if the Kohen didn't consult with us, and he did do Zrika Sadan with this, it's kosher. Again, the way we learned the Mishnah, it's very geschmack. Because the whole Issa, even according to the Rabbanan, is not only an Issa the Rabbanan, and therefore, with the Evid, it'll be fine. So, I saw very interesting Machloikas Rishonim. I always learned Pshat Imloy Nimlach, means that if the Kohen didn't consult with us, and thought that Yelada spritzed this time, and that's what he did. And then it turns out that he did the wrong thing, but the evidence caution. But I saw other Rishonim have a different explanation. It's Nafkamina La'alocha. They say Imlay Nimlach means that the Kohen did the Zrika prior to his finding out that we had a problem. So since at the time that he did the Zrika, we weren't aware that there was a problem, that's when it's kosher. But according to this pshat, if it's the Kohen knew there was a problem, and he chose to paskin on his own that it's kosher, that pshat would hold that it wouldn't be kosher. Because you didn't ask a shayla, we're not going to let you benefit. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah began, again, with a case where Dam and Mayim got mixed up. On that, says the Gemara, Amr b'chiyah ba'aba, Amr b'yoichron, lo yishon al shenofel mayim l'toich dam. The water got mixed into the dam, and that's when we say that as long as it has a marid dam, as long as it looks like blood, we're fine. Avo nofel dam l'toich mayim. Let's say it was the other way around. Blood fell into water. So here we have a new concept. Rishon bottle. Every drop of blood that falls in becomes bottle in the water. And therefore, even though ultimately we have so much blood falling into the water that it looks like blood, it doesn't make a difference. All that blood became bottle, and therefore you cannot use it. Machloikas Rishonim, how far to take this ruling of Rav Chiya? Some Rishonim suggest that Rav Chiya's ruling was only said in a case where the dam was poured into the water slowly, drop by drop. So every drop becomes bottle in the water. But what would happen? It was poured in bikiluach, a large amount at one time. There was never a time it looked like water, it would be fine. The other Rishonim that are machmer in that case too. Ask the Brisker Rav, a gevaldige kasha. He asked, why is the halacha here that as the dam falls into the mayim, we have a problem? Because if it looks like mayim, it becomes dochui. It becomes rejected. And once it's rejected, it remains permanently rejected. Ask the Brisker Rav. Let's think about it. We'll learn the Gemara simple. We're pouring in drops of dam into the water, and every drop that's poured into the water, since it still looks like water, it's possible. But at a certain point, there's going to be a drop of dam that will take you over to the other side. And that drop of dam will make it look like dam. So that drop of dam there's no problem with. So ask the Brisker Rav, so you have now a mixture that has in it at least that last drop of dam that made it look like dam. So why can't you do Zrika now with this because of that last drop of dam? Says the Brisker Rav, a gevaldige chiddush. He says, when our Gemara says that the dam falls into the water, and as the dam falls into the water, since it becomes bottle in the water, it's not to be understood that the dam falls into the water and therefore I can't use it. The Gemara is teaching us, says the Rav, that it gets the din of water. You see blood, but halacha sees water. So now, when that last drop of dam fell in, it didn't fall into a certain amount of water and a certain amount of dam. That dam is really water. And therefore, it's a problem even for that last drop of dam. And actually, the Chiddush, the Brisker Rav, this vart of the Rav can answer another question that the Mefarshim ask. Yes, we've learned numerous times in our Shiurim that there's an issue of Eim Vatlam Islach Atchila. That means, our old example, the milk falls into the meat, you don't have Shishim, you can't add milk, you can't add meat to be Mevatlet. Here there's no Issa. There's no Issa here. There's nothing wrong about water and dam. The problem is you can't use it for Zerika. So the question is, why don't you just add, if you have water and blood mixed together, and it doesn't look like blood, add more blood until it looks like blood. The answer is because you can never know what to do, because there's so much water and blood here, because that blood that fell into the water is considered water. However, says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Linyan Kisa Enikain, Lefish Ein Dich B'mitzvos. What does this mean? We know there's a din in the Torah called Kisui Hadam. What does Kisui Hadam say? Kisui Hadam says that when you shech the bird, or you shech the chaya, you have to cover the blood. Says the Gemara, what would be if you had a similar situation? That you had the blood of the bird or the chaya, and it fell into water. So do we say, kama kama bottle, and it's not considered dam, and there would be no chiyuv kisui? Says the Gemara, absolutely not. To say this concept of dichui, of rejection, to exempt you from a mitzvah, we don't say. And you'll still be mechayev in kisui adam. Interesting machloikas rishonim. Here the Gemara says that ein dichui b'mitzvah. That means, at the end of the day, we have dam here. The fact that it fell into water doesn't change the reality that we have dam. And therefore, since we have the reality of dam, it remains that way forever. So what does the machloikas rishonim, when we say ein dichui b'mitzvah, do we only say on a cheftza, or do we say it on a gavra also? Let me explain what I mean. Rachman al-Slan, this story. Layaleinu v'layaleichem. We have a halacha. Everybody knows this thing. If somebody loses a relative for whom he must sit shiva, and he doesn't find out by the patira, as long as he finds out during the shleishim, he has to sit shiva. What would be the halacha if a child who's below bar mitzvah, below bas mitzvah, loses a parent, Rachman al-Tzlan. So he doesn't have to sit shiva, he's a katan. But he's going to become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah before the shloshim is up. Do we say, ein dichui b'mitzvahs? And there's no concept of rejection. And even though he was rejected, at the beginning he was potter, when he becomes bar mitzvah during the shloshim, he'll have to sit shiva. And there's a very big chumra in what I'm saying. That means even if he sat shiva, when the parent died, that shiva is halachically insignificant because he was below bar mitzvah. And he's going to have to sit himself down shiva, or she's going to, or the ketana is going to have to sit her down shiva again when they become gedolim, as long as it's before the shloshim. Or do we say that the concept of ein dichui b'mitzvah is on the cheftza? This dam became mechuy b'kisui. So the fact that it got mixed up with water doesn't make a difference. And it doesn't make a difference even how it got mixed up with water. But a person can be dachui. And since this child became exempt from sitting shiva, or he became exempt from sitting shiva, even though before the shloshim they become gedolim, the dichui remains and they won't have to sit themselves down for shiva. You should never have such a shaila. Begins the Gemara. And as is apparent, if you look just at the Gemara, it's obvious that the Tosfos has a lot to say in this Gemara. What Tosfos has a lot to say is the Tosfos doesn't like what Rashi has to say. But we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Amar Ish Lakish. Hapikl v'anois v'atameh. We have here, and again, most Rishonim learn that even though we start with three kazesim, to understand the Gemara, to make it easy, we're going to speak about the following situation. There are three kazesim, a kazayis of pigel, a kazayis of noiser, and a kazayis of tame. A person takes two kazesim of these meat, and we know that for every kazayis of pigel, if one, Rechman Slan, eats a kazayis of pigel, is chayiv malchus. If one eats a kazayis of noiser is chayim malchus, one eats a kazayis of carbon, that's tamei is chayim malchus. He took these two kazayisim. He took a kazayis of pigle and a kazayis of noiser and put it into his mouth, and eats it shabolim b'zeh b'zeh. He puts them into the mouth at the same time for ochlon, and he eats it, e potter. He won't be chayim malchus. Why? Because says the Gemara, e efshish lo yibbe min al chaver vivat leno. What happens is, some of the noiser, we started with two kazayisim, some of the noiser went into the pigle, or some of the pigle went into the noiser. By doing that, it diminished the noiser, or diminished the pigle. That we have less than a kazayis of noiser. We have less than a kazayis. But we don't know exactly what happens in your mouth. Did the pigle travel into the noiser, or did the noiser travel into the pigle? So we have here a number of things. You only can get malchus for one. Because since the kezayis of pigel or noisa got diminished, so the one that's diminished is not a kezayis, and you never get a malchus for less than a kezayis. But furthermore, let's think about it, you can't get even for the one that you ate malchus. Because there's a din that we've learned numerous times, that in order to get malchus, one has to receive a proper hasra. And here he didn't get a proper hasra, because we don't know what did he eat a kezayis of. Did he eat a kezayis of pigel? Did he eat a kezayis of noisa? So the one who sees this person eating can't give him a proper hasra, and therefore he won't get any malchus. Let's read the Gemara again. E efsher shlayir b'min al chaveri. One min went into the other one, so it diminished it. V'yivat lena. So the one that became less and becomes bottle. And therefore no malchus could be given. Says the Gemara, the basis, after we understand this, what there are three halachic concepts driving this halacha. Shema mina klas. Shema mina isur mevatel zezeh. Then when we say bittel, bittel is not only by something kosher and something treif. All the cases, almost all the cases that we've been describing a bittel in our mesecht, in our perek, have been, starting from the beginning of the perek, something non-kosher got mixed up with kosher. Here it's isurim. The pigel is aser and the nasir aser. This din of bittel applies even by two isurim. Shema mina, nice and tam beroiv lav deraisa. What's the Gemara saying here? Very important word. Even though, as we said, what happens in the person's mouth is some of the noiser may travel into the pigle, or some of the pigle may travel into the noiser, but you started with a kezayis of noiser, and you started with a kezayis of pigle. So even if some of that noiser went into the pigle, you still have a kezayis of tam that should make you chayif. The chiddush here is that you're not chayif for tam. You have to be chayif for mamoshes. And since some of that mamoshes was diminished, you're not going to be chayif malchus. And shema mina, as we explained, hasra sofek leshma hasra. It's not considered a valid hasra. Ask the Gemara, masiv rava, osi isa, mechita min isa. We all know that somebody makes a dough, as long as the dough is of the proper shear, the halacha is you have to take off challah from the dough. But for a dough to be chayiv in a froshes challah, it has to be dough made out of one of the five grains. Let's say somebody made a dough which is made out of wheat, which is one of the grains, but rice, im yesh by tam dogen, chayavis b'challah. As long as it has the taste, as if there's wheat in it, it's chayiv b'challah. Even if it's mostly iris. So we see that we follow tam, we don't need the mamoshes. Answer the Gemara, that's midrabbanan. Ask the Gemara another question. Let's learn the end of that Mishnah. Tremendous chiddush. The chiddush is that if you mix wheat and rice and you make matzah out of it, and again, we all know that matzah has to be made out of one of the five grains, the halacha is you mix wheat and rice together, it's considered a kosher matzah. Why? If you need mamoshes, you don't have enough grain. Ella, so we're back, so how do we understand it? So before we go further, just to speak about this halacha, although it's something that we shouldn't do l'chatchila, mix wheat and rice and make matzah out of it, there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand this halacha. It goes in all different directions, from very lenient to very chumra. Some rishonim say it's not only wheat and rice. Any grain and any legume that's mixed will have the same halacha. Other rishonim, it's really a Yerushalmi that says it's specifically grain and rice. The Yerushalmi seems to say that grain and rice have very similar characteristics, and therefore, even though wheat is a grain and rice is not a grain, their common characteristics cause them to be able to meld together and make it into a matzah. So they say it's strictly wheat and rice, but according to those Rishonim, as long as you have any ratio of wheat and rice, you'll have a kosher matzah. There are Rishonim that are more machmer. They say that you have to have enough wheat in this mixture that you could eat a kazayis of grain, a kazayis of wheat, b'chtei achilas pras. But if you just have a small amount of wheat with a lot of rice, that you wouldn't be able to eat a kazayis of, in the amount that you're eating, you won't have a kazayis of grain, b'chtei achilas pras. So again, a machloikus, do you have to have kazayis b'chtei achilas pras or grain or not? But back to our Gemara. Ella, says the Gemara, when we have two types that are not the same, the aloch is taka, we follow tam. If we always follow tam, we go back to what we discussed a minute ago. Why over here do, when we have the piece of pigle and the piece of noiser in your mouth, again, following Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. And again, I have to make a very important statement. When Reish Lakish is speaking, he's only speaking here about Chiyuv Malkus. Certainly Reish Lakish is not suggesting in any way that this is permissible. He's only speaking about where there be a Chiyuv Malkus. He's saying that there's no Chiyuv Malkus, but certainly it's also to eat this. So Reish Lakish indeed would agree that if I take two different types of foods and I mix them together, even though when they're in my mouth, one gets diminished into the other, doesn't make a difference. As long as I started off with a kazayis of each one, I'll be chayiv. How did the Rishonim explain this Gemara? Just the practical illustration. If I took into my mouth a kazayis of a karban mincha that was noiser, and I took into my mouth a kazayis of meat that was pigle, so you have two things that are not the same. It's min b'shein aminoi. This is flour, flour and oil. This is meat. So Reish Lakish rule wouldn't apply. Because you have two different tamim, and you have a kazayis of tam of each one. So even if the tam of one travels into the other in your mouth, and I don't know in which direction it's necessarily traveling, it wouldn't make a difference. When does Reish Lakish say his rule? Only min b'minoi. We're speaking about two pieces of meat. And therefore, by min b'minoi, we can't just rely on tam, we have to rely on the mamashas. Let's read the words of the Gemara. Min b'shein aminoi, the rule is indeed, we follow tam. Min b'minoi, beruba. Ask the Gemara, and this is how this sugya gets into our shir. The nishar, indeed, will have the situation, going back to the example I just gave, a kazayis of meat that's nicer, and a kazayis of meat that's pigle. Says the Gemara, if our Mishnah taught us there's aloch of royin, that the aloch allows us to view things even though they aren't there, the nishar, why don't, in this case, we do the same? The nishar min b'minoi, even though it's actually min b'minoi, we should view it to min b'shein aminoi, as if it's not min b'minoi. Where do we see such a case? Our Mishnah. The Tanan, didn't we just learn in our Mishnah? Nisar b'yayin. If the dam got mixed up with blood. So as far as our halacha is concerned, blood and dam are the same. It's min b'minoi, because they both look red. Tells us the Mishnah, what should I do? Roinai, so we should view it. Kilamayim. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, my love, roin oisoi liyayin. We view that wine. Kilumayim. So why don't we do the same here? Says the Gemara, loy. Roinoisei kulumayim. We look at the blood, roinois ladam kilumayim. Not that we look at the iser, at the problematic pieces of its water, we look at the dam of its water. Here, we want to look at the iser like it's heter, we can't do that. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, yochi, then the wording of the Mishnah is difficult. Then the wording of the Mishnah should be yochi. The Mishnah said, "Botmi boile." Void. The Brisa says explicitly, not that way. Rav Yehuda Omer, "Roinos kilu yain edoy." We look at the wine. There's talking about white wine. We view it, the white wine, as if it were red wine, and now it got mixed up with the dam. Im dir marayu kosher from la apostle. So we see that we do look at the iser, the wine, royin. So the question comes back, if there is a halakha concept of royin, we should apply it here as well. We'll stop here.